Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode is made possible by the support we get from Fort Collins Kia. If you are in the market for any electric Kia, not only do they never add market adjustments, they will deliver your car to you anywhere in the 48 contiguous states for out-of-spec viewers. More information in the link in the show notes. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Out of Spec podcast. Today, you join me, your host, Francie, and Kyle, who you know very well, to talk about the model year 2024 Ford Mustang Mach-E that is just huge improvements this year, right, Kyle? So we're going to walk you through the technical specs, what they've commented on that they're most proud of, how they're achieving these new performance standards, and let you know what we think, which is already, Kyle, you've told me you're pretty happy to see the changes so far.
Yeah, Mach-E and Out of Spec has had a long relationship together. We've done a lot with this car, driving it from the very early days, driving it across the country, testing plug-in charge. This was one of the first ever vehicles to support plug-in charge on our public charging networks. And now finally it gets a much needed upgrade, and I'm seriously pleased with everything they've seemed to do. A lot of it still will require testing. We have to run it through everything, but it's looking pretty damn good for model year 24 for the Mach-E.
And I know that we're going to go internally and talk about like what these new achievements are for the technology of the car, like this performance, but externally, it seems like there's not many changes. It's going to look like the typical traditional Mach-E.
Right. The only big external changes, there's a new trim level called the Mach-E Rally that we've filmed on before, and we've seen it shows that's now officially available. But under the hood is, you know, it's more range, it's faster charging, which is the big one for me. It's more power, upgraded features as standard equipment, such as MagnaRide or their magnetic ride control is now standard equipment on the GT, which is great. So we're basically going to run through the media release they gave, wrap it up with our thoughts. And then of course, I can't wait to drive this thing.
Yeah, I'm excited that, you know, they're saying they're leveling it up, and we agree, because sometimes automakers are like, this is amazing what we're doing. And we're like, well, is it? But this seems to be like some really needed improvements that they're achieving here. So yeah, let's start walking it through. Do you want to start with the tech specs? Do you want to start with what the team is saying? Where do you want to begin, Kyle?
Yeah, I'm going to share my screen here, which is the official Ford media page. All of this information just went live moments ago. Yes. Donna Dixon's been on our channel before, I think, when I did the Mach-E GT launch, but she's great. So she's the chief engineer of Mustang Mach-E. She understands, you know, of course, she's a hardcore driver. She rips. And she's just awesome. And nice. So she's the chief engineer of Mach-E. So she wrote this letter to the media, and I figured we would share it with you as well. And, you know, I'm not going to read it word for word, but I'm just going to pick out highlights here. So you know, model year 24 was probably the planned mid-cycle update from a technical perspective of the vehicle. She says they spend a lot of time thinking about what will excite their customers so they can build EVs that their customers will truly love. And you guys know we're big F-150 Lightning fans. We like the Mach-E, but it's just needed some improvements. And these may have been the improvements that it's needed. By the way, just to the viewers listening, it's now faster than a Tesla Model Y performance, which is not slow.
No, so. Not slow at all. They say it's faster than both the Tesla Model Y and the Porsche Macan 4 electric. But
that's the base Macan.
Yes, the base.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, they just wanted to put it's
they faster had to throw than it in there.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. And it is. That's fine. But, you know, Porsche always goes pretty slow on the base model electrics, we've learned.
Mm-hmm. And that's specifically 0-60 in 3.3 seconds, by the way. That's right. The stat that they're giving.
Right. And knowing Ford, it'll probably do a bit better than that. We're talking low threes for sure.
Fun.
Yep. So we'll have basically the part that I'm most excited about is this improved range, improved charging, but then also improved sort of dirt road or soft road capability. And you can see here are the stats on the acceleration. And that was with the Rally, by the way. So this is 0-60 in 3.3 seconds, faster than Tesla Y performance and the Porsche Macan 4. Cranks out the quarter mile 11.8 at 114 miles an hour. Look, we're not talking like plaid speed, but we're talking like a high $50,000, mid $50,000 electric, you know, mom car that's ripping 11s in the quarter mile. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I see these all around the city. Also everywhere. I think these are a popular EV and they have this capability too, which I don't think most people I see driving them use it quite like... They could.
Yeah, most Mach-Es that I actually see around here, I see a very high market share of GTs, the fast ones. I always see them driving reasonably, of course. But like, I have a lot of friends that own Mustang Mach-E GTs. And yeah, they just use them as their daily car. And it's just nice to have the performance in the back pocket. So again, not all of the improvements are just for GT. It extends to the other trim, but we're just starting with acceleration, which is GT with performance upgrade is the top spec now. That gives you significantly more power. And the performance upgrade gives you 100 pound-feet of torque, and it's less than $1,000. So like, why even offer the non-performance upgrade?
Well, yeah, because it comes standard with the Rally Edition, but then you can upgrade it on other ones. So... I mean, what do you think? Would you go for just get the Rally or the Mach-E GT?
For me, I would only get the Rally. That's cool. But we'll get to that in a moment. I think the big news here is this is the first time we're hearing of the performance upgrade, which is the package, combines innovative powertrain thermal modeling and control algorithms. A lot of you will remember that on the previous generation Mach-E, the first generation, it had... dare I say, terrible thermal management controls and logic. I mean, it would overheat almost near instantaneously and then just keep you in turtle mode for the entire drive, like up a canyon or something. It was, even the base cars were pretty bad. And a lot of that was just like preemptive safety because they didn't temperature model everything or temperature control everything. And it was just annoying. And for me, it was a non-starter on the vehicle. Don't sell a performance vehicle, especially a performance Mustang, that doesn't have the thermal longevity to rip or at least keep up with Model Y. They're not saying how much improved thermal longevity here, but they are making a note because everyone made fun of the 5-second power limit and all of these things that it had. They are making a note saying, hey, we've heard you and we have new powertrain thermal modeling and control algorithms. This is music to my ears. I really can't wait to try this out and experience this. So that's great. The second thing is they have a new in-house electric motor, which helps to deliver improved torque and possibly efficiency. I'm not sure. They did not go into detail on the new motor. My understanding was that they produced, at least I thought, I could be wrong, but based on my memory, I thought they produced the primary axle motor in-house and then the secondary motor was outsourced from a third-party supplier. Perhaps it's all in-house motors now, or perhaps it's just one motor and they're just putting them on each axle. I believe they're dual permanent magnet. We'll have to see what the strategy is here. Hopefully they have a little media launch program. Maybe we can get Donna on the podcast, ask her all these things. It'd be great to chat with her about the improvements because it's like everything that I kind of had an issue with on Mach-E is like being fixed here with the update. So I'm really excited because I've wanted to recommend this car to my friends for so long. And I have friends who own them who never run into the issues that I run into driving aggressively or charging fast or doing things because they just drive it as like a daily car. But I still think it's important that you buy a fully engineered package that's competitive. And it looks like this is what's happening now. There's a little video which we played for you at the beginning of this episode. And the performance upgrade comes standard on the Mach-E Rally, which you had already mentioned, Francie. So that's great.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that
This all just launched, so we're reading for the first time. The performance upgrade has nothing hardware related to it. It is just a software package on the vehicle. So you can buy a Mach-E GT, and then if it's on the lot and you're like, perfect spec, but I wish it had the performance upgrade, or you're like, I'm running into issues, I want more power, more thermal longevity, I don't know, perhaps we'll have to look. It seems like it's just a software enable over the air situation.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Don't you think? Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, yeah. Enable it seamlessly at a later date is what they say, which is what everyone wants to hear. Like, with the more capabilities to be able to access offerings via software instead of an entire different vehicle built differently with different hardware, that's a big win. Yeah,
I mean, it's nothing new. I mean, Tesla's been upgrading performance through over the air for a while, but it is cool to see Ford kind of catching on. Also, I think which is really interesting to me are the hardware upgrades now are standard for the GT, every GT, which is like, I would always say, if you're going to get a Mach-E GT, get the performance upgrade because you get the better suspension, brakes, a little bit more power, all these things. Now you get the awesome seats, which are truly awesome. I love the GT performance seats. They feel special. They look great. So that's standard on GT. You get the MagnaRide, which is awesome, and the Brembo branded front brake calipers, which I'm not sure are upgraded over the regular GT and just say Brembo and the other ones don't, but they are. I've never really had an issue with the braking package on Mach-E GT. It never gave me enough power to really use the brakes. So now, you know, we might be pushing the limits down the line, which is great. So I'm very excited. It just seems like the GT is awesome. Mm-hmm. And interesting, it's a new rear e-motor developed in-house by Ford engineers that debuts on all trim levels of the new Mach-E, weighs less, and helps deliver improved torque across the 2024 lineup. So the new motor is their primary axle that they've redone. So the primary electric motor is redone, which is awesome. And we have to say, the previous Mach-E, I never had an issue with the power output. I never had it, just how long it could give it to me for. And I certainly never had an issue with the range. The Mach-E always has had great range. And it's perhaps, you know, definitely more efficient now, partially because of this motor. So that's great.
That is what they go on to say, is that thanks to the new e-motor, along with other tweaks and improvements, we've increased the range of the vehicle compared to the first model year of Mustang Mach-E in 2021.
Right. That's awesome. I don't know if they're using a different battery. There's no indication. It just seems like they might be pushing it harder. Because here they have a note on charging, and it says here that it charges almost 20% faster, which is a huge improvement. 20% is a lot. When you add up all the times you're fast charging on a road trip, that's really good.
And do you remember the last specs for the battery in the previous model years?
Yeah, so there have been like two... So in the history of Mach-E, they started with, I want to say, 88 kilowatt hour usable. I think it was... Okay. 99 gross, 88 usable. They had a huge buffer. And then there was a software upgrade that opened it up to 91 kilowatt hour usable. This is just going off memory, so forgive me if I'm wrong. 91 kilowatt hour usable, and they upped the charging curve a bit. Previously on the first iteration, I'm just talking big battery Mach-E. I've never tested the small battery, actually. But on big battery Mach-E, I had remembered at 80%, it would dip to like 12 kilowatts. It would just be like, it would take like hours to complete. Moved that to 90%. So at 80%, it dipped to like 40 or 50 kilowatts. Okay. And so the time to 80% was about an hour from 0 to 80. Now they're talking 10 to 80, but 0 to 80 was pretty much an hour. And it was like another hour and a half from 80 to 100. It being 2.5 hours, 0 to full on Mach-E, which the top 20% doesn't matter. But
no,
it might if you're in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
So it sounds like the 10 to 80 in 36.2 minutes they say 8.8 minutes faster than previous models.
Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing that for the big battery, it's still 91 kilowatt hours and the small battery is 72 kilowatt hours based on the spec sheet that we got.
So the batteries are the same usable. Man, small battery is still fine. You probably don't need more than that. I see a lot of them around here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd never tested it. I'd like to test a small battery Mach-E because the price point on that, we'll get to it in a bit, is really solid price point on this vehicle. Mm-hmm. So you get basically faster charging. We'll run all the test logs and stuff. I don't know if they're still doing their boost profile, the initial plug-in where they rip. I don't know how that's all going to work, but we'll test it when we can. But at least in the EPA estimated range, you get 20 miles more over the previous car. So it's now 320 miles of range, which if you think about what I did, I had a Mach-E extended range rear drive, and I drove that like 314 miles. This is the early car over the Rocky Mountains, and I still had plenty of range left.
Very cool. Love
so
that.
This is going to be a good cruiser. Now, I should mention on the charging performance, when you compare that 10 to 80% time to vehicles like Ioniq 5, which is a direct competitor, we are not even in the same category. That Ioniq 5 can charge in half the time this vehicle can, up to 80%. And I still wish, of course, for very fast charging. I think this could have been Ford's opportunity to say, yeah, I'm glad it's improved. It's now seemingly acceptable. Before, it was just a bit too slow. Now it seems seemingly acceptable, but the competition...
We went even better. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the competition is just in another league.
Because 20% faster charge time, that sounds good. But then when you look at the numbers, it's still not that fast. You know, it went down to still 36, 10 to 80%, which is, of course, more perfect conditions that you can get, good charger, everything. So,
yeah, I'm just curious what they did to improve that, whether they're just holding boosts longer or if they're actually upping the peak charging speeds. I'm not sure. We're going to obviously play around with it. But what I think is... most interesting or most useful about this is I know a lot of people that just bought Mach-Es because the price was good. They had a local Ford dealer and they hate Tesla, whatever reason. I don't know. I just know like three or four people that did that. And they go on the occasional trip and DC charging isn't like top of mind. It's not the most important metric to them like it is to me, but to most people, it's a very infrequent use. And so here, the people that do buy Mach-Es are just going to have a better experience while charging for the few times throughout their ownership that they do that.
That's true. Yeah, good point.
So no complaints from me. And honestly, I don't see Mach-E owners. I definitely see a small group of enthusiasts, but I don't see at large Mach-E owners really complaining about charging speeds. Mm-hmm. You know, we're always going to push it here because I think it's important, but owners don't necessarily. We've already covered that they're open to the supercharger network, which is great. We should just take a look at Mach-E. Did they move the charge port location? Still looks like front left. So no. It is the same charge port location. And they have a cool bold and bronze Mach-E GT bronze appearance package. This car looks awesome, by the way, when you look at this. Let's just see if I can pull it up. Look how sick this thing is.
That does look very nice.
It's like perfect color combination, truly. Yeah. It's amazing. Love that. So that's cool. But then here's the one for Colorado. It's the Mach-E Rally. It's got the coolest wheels. It's got the big powertrain, slight different suspension stuff. You can see it's 20 millimeters higher. It's actually 260 miles of EPA, I believe, not 250. Maybe I'm wrong. What does it say if I come here? Mach-E Rally, 265 miles of range. So again, Ford always doing the under-promise, always deliver or over-deliver situation here with model year 24. That's the Mach-E Rally is so cool. I can't wait to drive that. That's like built for me. That's awesome. And it's not like a hardcore off-roader. I just hope they made it so you can slide it and drift it and have some fun. Because I'll just share a quick note on the Mach-E GT vehicles. They were always front motor heavy. So what I mean is whenever you launch it, you spin the front tires, which is like just put a juicier rear motor on it. Perhaps this is that new motor. And so it keeps the same front motor, but then the rear can do a bit more to help balance that drivetrain out because it was always a bit front wheel driving. It's got Blue Cruise with the lane changes, 1.2, 1.3. We tested that. It performed, I don't want to say flawlessly, but almost flawlessly in our hogback test. It was either number one or number two. It was great driver assistance. We had it in the F-150 Lightning, an earlier version. Mach-E comes with a later version. It was great. So they're really working on a good, complete vehicle. And here's the lineup. So you have Select, Premium, GT, and Rally. And the Rally is under 60 grand, comes with everything. The Select is under 40 grand, $39,995 for standard range rear drive. And that seems like a great offering, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or up it to the extended range all wheel drive for $47,000 for the Select. But yeah, at that point,
a lot of money though.
It is. No, of course it is. And I think at that point, like you could be accessing the premium trim too. Okay, so now Kyle's brought up the Model Y.
I'm looking at Model Y prices because it's a direct comparable pricing situation.
Yes.
It's $44,990 for a rear drive Y. This is the small battery too. It's a software locked large pack is my understanding.
Okay.
And the comparable $49,90 for Model Y long range all wheel drive. If I come here to the Mach-E, we're at $49,995, same price, but this is the nicer Mach-E. This comes with more stuff, big battery, all-wheel drive. This is like the nice one is where the Model Y kind of starts out at.
Interesting.
In the all-wheel drive form.
And I'd love to see this price competition.
It's $5,000 cheaper base price than a Model Y right now. Now, keep in mind, Tesla is heavily discounting inventory vehicles, so we have to mention that. You're not going to go and order one of these fresh from the website. You're going to buy an inventory one for a few thousand less. But if you're looking at MSRP to MSRP, which is truly the only way we can actually compare the vehicles without doing a serious deep dive, the Mach-E's $5,000 less base price and all-wheel drive is about $3,000 less.
But this
is the one to get. Get the premium. You want the nice stuff, I think. Blue Cruise, all the other things. So you're into it. But then it's only like $4,000 more to get the GT.
We could just keep upping it.
Yeah. And then
it's only a bit more.
The Rally.
Just throw it up to $60,000 for the Mustang, Mach-E Rally, extended range battery, all wheel drive.
That should be the only one they sell. Yeah.
You think so?
I mean, no, but yes.
Just as we were saying, because mostly I see these in. I mean, who knows where people take them out once they're not in their driveways or garages, but I typically see them in like with families or, not the racers, not the
back roads. Totally. So it just seems like a really nice portfolio. I think they've nailed the pricing. You can go pretty inexpensive for what you're getting on the low end, all the way up to a really fun Rally version with, bespoke suspension, wheels, lighting, probably some cool software stuff would be my guess. Some drift modes, I hope, things like that would be really fun. And so basically that is the Mach-E lineup for you guys. Francie, your thoughts? I did a lot of talking this episode. Did we miss any of the upgrades?
I think we were pretty thorough. I'm wondering when, so it looks like you can build your own right now. Do we know when these will be available?
I don't know. Ford has definitely delayed the model year 24 stuff because we're already into April of 24. So they must have had some last minute engineering or budget stuff, or I'm not sure what happened there because Lightning still hasn't announced 24 true specs yet. Mm-hmm. So I assume we'll hear about Lightning very soon as well. But we'll stay on top of this. As soon as we see them starting to get delivered, we'll mention it. Patrick and Liv from the Mach-E vlog is a channel you probably want to keep your eyes close to during this time of model year changeover and refresh. They, of course, will be covering this closely. And they're Mach-E enthusiasts, so we always turn to them when we have questions about what was this, what's that, what do you think is going to happen? And props to Ford, I think, for dialing in the car. As initial impression from the outside looking in, it sounds like they watched an out-of-spec video and said, oh, let's just fix these things, and then it'll be good.
Definitely. I mean, it seems like nothing's perfect, right? We'd love to see even more impressive numbers because we want to keep our standards high, especially for EVs. But this is already a pretty popular electric vehicle, just from my anecdotal experience, but the numbers say so too. Ford's approach in general does seem to be a competitive one. And they're working closely with the best automaker, Tesla. I mean, they're the first one on the Supercharger network. So in general, do we like where Ford is going electrically, Kyle?
Yeah, there's been a lot of news that they're slowing down, whatever. I don't think it's that big of a deal. They'll come out when they come out, and when they come out, they better be competitive at that time. I'm in no rush. I just think make a real solid product. Mm-hmm. The Mach-E now seems good. I mean, I'm excited about it. What the real question is, this Ioniq 5 Model Y, we got to do the big comparison test, which we will do, of course, probably towards the end of this year, once everyone's had their model year upgrades, because Ioniq 5 is also getting updates and Model Y could be getting an update here pretty soon as well, to keep in the back of your head. So we will do the big electric SUV comparison either late this year or early next. But I got to say, love the direction they're going. They're totally on it. They listen to customer feedback. They listen to our feedback. They are, Ford is one of my favorite automakers because they have such a large portfolio of enthusiast vehicles. So, but if we're just looking at Mach-E, this now seems like it was a pretty weak offering in my opinion before. It now seems pretty solid.
That's good. And that's what they need to do if we don't want to see any more headlines of them divesting or delaying their electric plans. They need to have a really solid electric lineup to be competitive, competitive offerings, not only, you know, prices, but what you're getting for your value. And I know in my area, we've got the Blue Oval factory, Blue Oval campus. Blue Oval plant, either way. And there's all this question in our region too, is like, okay, if Ford is divesting from this, what is going to happen to this big giant campus that they're building out in Tennessee? So something to keep an eye on. But I think this is definitely key if they're going to remain a strong contender in the EV space. So thanks for walking us through all of Ford's electric love for their new model year 24 Mustang Mach-E, Kyle. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Let us know what you think about this upgrade. If you're interested, does this change your idea on the Mach-E? If you were interested, but there are, like Kyle said, some other competitive offerings out there. So we'll, like he said, keep our finger on the pulse and keep you updated. See you next time on the next episode. Have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye, y'all.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.